another week, another episode. Welcome back to Admission Insight. My name is Chandler Frazier-Pauls, and today we have a super entertaining and super informative episode as Ken Coakley, the Director of Technology here at the Pennington School, joins us to discuss AI in education. We think you'll find this super impactful, so sit back, enjoy, and as we always like to say, let's go!
So you say you want to apply to private school. We're gonna show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take, and everything's gonna turn out great. We're gonna find the right fit, both for you and for your kids, based off school culture and needs. We're gonna bolster your chances to succeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Admission Insight. I am here today with our Director of Technology here at the Pennington School, Ken Coakley. We are going to be discussing AI in education here at the Pennington School, the challenges, the benefits, all of the above. It's a super interesting, important, awesome conversation. But first, I'm going to let Ken, introduce himself. So, Ken, welcome to the show. Let's get this thing rolling.
Thanks, Chandler, and thanks so much for having me. I appreciate this time to talk about this important topic. A little bit about myself. So this is my 13th year at the Pennington School. I am, as Chandler said, the Director of Technology, and I also teach some of the technology classes here. I teach a software engineering class as well as a class on Python and an introduction to cybersecurity, which is an awful lot of fun. I've had two daughters attend the Pennington School, and they're both off, being quite successful students in college. And I happily live on campus with my wife and three dogs.
And you're a dorm head.
And I am a dorm head. That
there
is also correct. Yes.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to have you here today. And AI is a very hot topic right now in education. So first off, educate us. Give us in its simplest form, what is AI? And kind of, what is the role that it's playing in schools and education right now?
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about AI. So let's start with just a little bit of history. So the concept of AI has been around for a long time. It actually dates back to the 1950s. And over the course of the 20th century, there were advances in AI development, but we sort of reached a barrier where computer technology and processing power wasn't able to keep up with the advances in development in some of the specific AI technologies. So there was sort of this dark period, this AI winter, it's called, where it seems like the development just stalled. In more recent years, advances in CPU technology and GPU technology has allowed these technologies to come back and really, really reach their fuller potential. And what we're seeing right now are the benefits of those advances. But let me give you just some general terminology here to try to diffuse some misconceptions. There are three large tiers of AI when we're talking about AI. There's the narrow AI, which is limited to a single task. Then there's general AI, which is sort of human-like intelligence. That would be AI that can do many different tasks, multitask, and even address new tasks, unknown tasks. And then there's this notion of super intelligent AI, which is the idea of AI that can surpass human capabilities. Right now, we're really in the sort of the infancy of AI. We're working with tools which are still within that narrow AI tier. And primarily what we're dealing with in education and most business uses are what are referred to as LLMs. These are large language models that are able to produce the replies by using a predictive algorithm. They're not really intelligence, but they are just mathematically able to determine what someone would say given a specific question. Or in the case of an AI image generator, it can use a predictive algorithm to draw a picture based on your questions. If you ask for a banana, well, it has access to millions of pictures of bananas, and it can kind of predict what a banana would look like and give you a banana. Now, I'll be honest with you. Those of us who are in education and those of us who are even in technology and education were kind of blindsided by the sudden availability of these tools when they came out. ChatGPT was released in November of 2022, but we saw widespread adoption starting as soon as the spring of 2023. So we weren't quite prepared for these tools to become available, to be in our hands and in our students' hands. So we did a little catching up. We had a little bit of catching up to do. But as we talk about AI use in schools, there are really three primary uses that we need to distinguish. There are tools for teachers to perform their day-to-day tasks. What do you need to do to be a teacher? You need to grade papers. You need to design curriculum. You need to write emails. There are tools that can help teachers with those tasks. Then there are tools that teachers can use in the classroom for that interaction with students. And there are some fantastic tools now that we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a few minutes. And then there are also tools for students to use to help their understanding of a topic or help their ability to create assignments and projects, things that they're going to turn in. So these are the three different buckets that we're sort of dealing with in education. Now, we have lots of concerns about AI.
Yep.
We may get a chance to talk about these. I'm just going to mention a few quickly because you may have heard about these. AI can hallucinate, meaning that if AI doesn't really have an answer for a question, it'll make one up. And there are lots of sort of famous examples of AI hallucinations over the past year. But AI pulls its information from human-generated content. So it's pulled in our own biases. And so lots of AI answers and AI responses can have that inherent human bias included in their answers. Then there are legal issues, ethical issues that we can talk about, issues of equity. Who has access to these tools? There are environmental concerns. Just supporting these systems takes a tremendous amount of processing power. And then we can talk about the possibility, concerns about job loss and deepfakes and other things, all those scary terms that we've been hearing about.
You mentioned catching up. Mm-hmm. Kind of being surprised, right, in terms of ChatGPT and AI overall. You know, so where are we at here at the Pennington School in terms of AI and ChatGPT and those type of things?
Well, I think the immediate reflex of many schools was to simply try to block it. But those of us that are in technology who have dealt with some of these things as they emerged before know that that's just a losing game. Every time you figure out one way to block a technology, five more pop up and get through our filters. So we knew we didn't want to take that approach. We're fortunate in that we have a very active and educated parent community that we were able to tap into. And in fact, we reached out to a parent who works at the university level in education design and sits on several AI boards, and we were able to reach out to him and consult with him. And he was super helpful in helping us wrap our heads around the issues and put some policies in place that made sense for the Pennington School. At this point, we're piloting some pretty exciting programs. There are a number of AI tools that are now specifically tailored for teachers and students to use. And we put a few of those in the hands of our teachers this spring in order to help us decide which tools we wanted to make more widely available in the fall. We've been addressing the ethical and the allowed use in the classrooms. We've asked our teachers to have those conversations with their students. What does it mean to use an AI tool for an assignment? Which assignment is it appropriate? How do you properly cite the use of an AI tool when you're using it to help you with an assignment? So there have been a lot of conversations happening in the classrooms as well. But then we're having students using them for specific activities. We have teachers who have just gone really above and beyond and are showing their students how they can use these AI tools almost as personal tutors, how they can help improve their understanding of a topic by interacting with these AI tools. So we have a mix of uses happening right now. Some of those have been very just organic and happening in different departments, but others have been led by myself and the technology department, our academic leaders here, so that we can get a couple standard applications in the right hands for the fall.
That's fantastic. And it sounds like, you know, adapting has happened quickly, but also thoughtfully. And that's super important, you know, for our whole community to kind of get behind this. And you are a fearless leader when it comes to AI here at the Pennington School. You mentioned faculty and kind of teachers, how they're using it. You know, I'm sure it's been an adjustment for them. You know, how are they, you know, handling this kind of new technology that's coming at them? And it can't be easy at all the time. And so, you know, where are they at? And if you want to touch on faculty and kids, you know, I'm sure it's been an adjustment for kids as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And as we've seen with many new technologies, we really have a range of responses from our faculty. There are the early adopters who really just like to jump in, learn how to use a technology and see how they can use it in their classroom. Then there are others who are more cautious and prefer to see what others in their cohort or in their departments are doing first. So we have this range, and it's a very healthy conversation that's happening at the department level within our faculty. The truth is there is a learning curve to use some of these technologies, and it's a technology really in its infancy. So there are some struggles, some issues with the technology itself. So you have to be willing to commit some time before you can have, you know, really a positive impact in your classroom with these technologies. But I will say that those who have embraced it, those who have dedicated the time to learning the technologies, have really seen the benefits of using it in the classroom. They see the value of it, and they've become sort of champions within their departments for its use, which is fantastic to see. As a tech director, that's the best that I can hope for, because the best way to get teachers to use a technology is for them to see success and hear from other teachers who have used it and used it well. The other thing I'll say, though, which has been very interesting, it's caused a larger conversation within the school to occur, and that is we need to reflect upon our existing curriculum and the way that we assess students. Because as technology changes, these tools can dramatically impact the way that students are able to respond to problems and respond to questions. So there's been this sort of slow burn conversation happening where we're re-examining our curriculum and simply the way that we teach, because this new technology does challenge some of our old ways of delivering information. So from the student side, there have been mixed responses as well, you know, which is certainly not a surprise. I will say this, is that I don't think the technology has been as earth-shattering for our students as it has been for us of the older generations. You know, my daughters and many of the students that are here now grew up with Alexas and, you know, Siri, you know, these tools that would respond to their voices and simulate intelligence. So I don't think they were as overwhelmed by the change once these AI tools came out. But that being said, they're quickly learning how to use these tools for their own benefit as well. You know, we have students who have found great ways to use these tools with their specific fields of interest. We have a very sophisticated and advanced computer science team, and one of the best fields for these AI tools is in coding, is in computer science, because computer science involves a lot of routine and sort of boring tasks. AI tools can help you eliminate the boredom and the redundancy of some of those tasks.
That's great. And I, you know, I think what I'm hearing is that our students, our faculty, for the most part, you know, are resilient with this. They're adapting to the times, just like with anything, and using it in a positive manner. And I think, you know, that's obviously an ongoing conversation and how to do that. But it's great to hear that everyone is kind of getting on board with that. So now for more of a fun kind of question for you, Ken. Well, what's the most fun thing you have used AI for?
Well, I dabbled with a tool called Stable Diffusion, which is an open source image generating tool that you can use for generating images and videos. And I really did sort of a deep dive into this tool because I wanted to understand how it worked. And it also, you know, I'm a nerd. It's just kind of fun. And that to me is just an incredible application for these tools, where I can imagine a scenario, anything that comes to my mind, and I can use these tools to generate either an image to go along with it or an entire video sequence that matches my imagination. That to me is just fantastic.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've been playing around with is the Apple Vision Pro, which many of you may have heard of at this point, but it's essentially a wearable computer. It's a device that has the technologies of augmented reality and virtual reality. And I've been learning this whole new notion of spatial computing. And while I don't think the Apple Vision Pro itself is a really ground-shaking device, simply because there are several drawbacks to it, it does portend a very different future for us. And once we start merging augmented reality with artificial intelligence, we end up with some really amazing potential. And so I'll give you an example. Imagine you're walking around in Pennington. Mm-hmm. And you decide that, you know what, I wish all the trees in Pennington were purple. And through your augmented reality device, you can change all the trees to appear purple, because the AI can detect trees, it can recolor them, and then this augmented reality device can show you those trees in purple.
Wow, that's quite the example, and I feel like there's endless possibilities to kind of, you know, AI and what it can bring to the table, and thinking about our school, you know, educationally as well. And so excited to see where that goes. Also, I think a little nervous in terms of, you know, those endless possibilities too. And I'm sure you, being at the forefront of it, agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Chandler. I think AI has the potential for so much good, but also so many kind of risky and scary possibilities.
Yeah.
But this is an upbeat podcast. I don't want to dive into that.
And I have no doubt that the Pennington School will use it for good. So I have two more questions. One, could you have used AI to do this podcast interview?
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's do a little example, if that's okay
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, that works for me.
Hey, Juniper, I'm doing an interview with Chandler here about AI in education. Can you give us some examples of some fun things we can do with AI?
Absolutely. AI can be used for a lot of fun and engaging activities. For instance, AI-powered apps can help create art and music. You can also have fun with AI chatbots and virtual assistants, which can tell jokes, play games, and even simulate conversations with fictional characters. AI in gaming has advanced significantly, allowing for more intelligent and adaptive NPCs, non-playable characters, that make games more immersive. Additionally, there are AI-driven recommendation systems that suggest movies, music, books, or even travel destinations based on your preferences, making your leisure time more enjoyable. These are just a few examples of the many fun ways AI can enhance our everyday experiences.
Well, so that was a real-life example of using ChatGPT to kind of answer questions and be a part of this interview, right?
That's exactly right. So one of the newer features released with the ChatGPT app is called Conversation Mode, and that was just the two of us experiencing Conversation Mode with ChatGPT.
Well, I just want to say that as much as I appreciate Juniper showing up in this podcast, I'm happy to have Ken Coakley in the flesh here as our guest.
I appreciate
My last
that.
Question, Ken. Where are we headed in terms of AI and education here at the Pennington Schools? We head into the fall of 2024.
Yeah, so at this point, obviously, we've been discussing AI an awful lot over the course of this year. And as a leadership team, we've come up with a plan for moving forward. And it's really a multi-pronged plan for how we want to see AI being used here at the Pennington School. I think most importantly, we need to provide our teachers with the education and the tools that will make them more efficient and effective at their jobs. So a good deal of what we're going to be focusing on this summer and over the fall is professional development for our faculty. That's going to be key to really the success of this program. We also want to focus on some opportunities for curriculum integration. So we have, as I mentioned earlier, we have a number of faculty members here, who have already found creative ways to use AI in the classroom. And we're asking them to become champions in their departments and help the other faculty members to use some of these tools effectively and creatively in their own curriculum. We're also focusing on ethical and responsible use with our students. This is just really just as important as the other two prongs, is that our students need to be just excellent stewards of this technology. They need to understand its strengths, then they need to understand its limitations, and also some of the concerns, the reasonable concerns that they should have and that we as adults have about this technology. I ultimately, this tool is going to be super, super impactful for providing personalized education for students, responsive to their specific strengths and their needs, and will really make our students stronger learners and our teachers better teachers. As we move to the future, we're going to continue to see these tools evolve and improve, and they're only going to make our educational experience here that much more impactful.
Awesome. And so, you know, I think the bottom line for our listeners is AI and education is not going anywhere. We have full faith that, you know, Ken, with you kind of leading the charge here, we're in good hands as we move forward. So thank you for your time today. I learned a lot. Probably one of my most interesting conversations in terms of this podcast. Thanks, Ken, and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thanks, Chandler. I really appreciate the time today.